Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Apparently not a safe enough distance, but I'm trying.
And from a further distance on the bullpen phone, my pal Chris Zook.
I always get stunned when you say that now, Mike. I feel like I'm part of the family. It's fantastic.
You didn't know it from like the fact that we tolerate your three kicker routine in our fantasy football league for the last like decade and a bit.
Let me tell you that
three kickers, six defenses, people still manages to win the league. So dumb.
I haven't won it all the time, but I do win it occasionally, and I know it bugs the people about that. But let me just say this: it's an auction league, right, that we do for fantasy football. And the best thing about, not only do I pick like three kickers or three tight ends or whatever, but it is mandatory that you do not pay, you have to pay more than $1 for defense other than Justin.
Well, that's become mandatory, but it
was mandatory while I'm on the clock. Yes,
fair enough. That's fantasy football, of course. We are recording this Thursday night during the draft, and I know that you're kind of keeping one eye on that.
I got there, one Chris. Eye just as the Vikings are on the clock as we're literally doing.
They
this
already right picked.
Now.
I'm trying desperately to keep away the existential dread of the fact that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay.
Let me tell you, what a glorious day if you're a Viking fan. This could
how many championships, Zook?
Zero, absolutely zero. I mean, I know I know what the number is.
There's baseball going on, right, Mike?
I pick teams. I pick the Expos and the Jets and the Vikings.
Yeah,
I
know
all about
there's zero. Baseball going on.
Life of hardship.
Let me tell you this. I'm gonna just say this. I want to get this out right away here. Brian, who was in the lineup on Wednesday for the Jays?
Mr. George Springer.
That's right. And what did he do?
I can't remember. I didn't watch.
My point is, it doesn't matter. He was just in the lineup. So hopefully this is the start of some good things for the Jays as some guys get off the.
Let me tell you though, I did watch the three homer game. El Vladito.
Oh, who did it? Like that.
El Vladito.
I'm glad you led with that a little bit, Brian. I'm sure Mike could get 100 things on the docket, but that was one of the big stories of this week, right? I mean, Vladdy is. He's slimmer. The ball trajectory.
Fix the launch angle,
yeah,
baby.
The launch angle. And also, it doesn't hurt that he's playing in Dunedin right now, right? I believe it's kind of a home run park is what I've read so far.
It's actually less hitter friendly than the Dome.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they were saying that it was launching a bit more. That said, it doesn't matter. He did it against Max Scherzer. Two of the three home runs.
Yeah, he did.
Right? I mean, you're talking about a Cy Young Award winner, guy who had 20 strikeouts in a game once, a World Series champion. Like, these weren't just off, you know, some reliever or some,
the
you know,
second
just,
best
you know, the
pitcher
fourth
of this generation.
Starter. Wow, that's a good statement. Wow. Yeah, I mean, and those are no doubters, right?
Well, he is.
Three home runs.
He is, right? It's Kershaw and Verlander. Then him.
How about Verlander?
I think I'd take Max over him.
There could be a little bit of debate, but sure, I'm just throwing that in there just as a it's not a bad it's right there. But three home runs, seven RBIs. I believe the stat was that's the youngest player ever to do that ever. Am I correct? I don't know if Michael, you had that stat or
I did not have that stat. Sorry, I had like three other things I was prepared to talk about before both of you jumped into this.
Well, that's just, you know, Brian has to, that was huge, wasn't it, Michael? Like, I mean, that's when you started getting the alerts and I watched some of that, is just that, you know, that's just awe-inspiring. That's exactly the potential you've been waiting for a couple of years. And Vladdy, and then I saw like his pops was tweeting out some things about being a proud papa. And the crazy stat is too, is Vladdy Guerrero Sr. never hit three home runs in his career, Hall of Famer.
Another weird fun stat in baseball, the only pitcher to give up two home runs to both Vlad Sr. and Vlad Jr. was Max Scherzer.
Wow.
In the same game, two home run games to both Jr. and Sr.
Only in baseball.
Right? It's just a cool sport.
I was just trying to see if I could find the details there on the question you're asking, but sorry, because I didn't have anything up about that, so I was trying to find that stat after you mentioned it. But I wanted to start by pouring one out for some recent retirees. I don't know if you saw, there was kind of a glut of folks announcing their retirement this past week.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of them just couldn't find teams to play.
Decided to retire. So we had the likes.
I don't know this actually.
So Neil Walker and Jay Bruce and Hector Rondon and Jerry Blevins all announced their retirement over the past week. I mean, obviously the biggest name out of those would have been Jay Bruce, I think, certainly a quality hitter over an extended period of time. I think 12, 13 year career for Jay Bruce.
Yeah, he was really good for a long
14 years,
well.
Rather. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
14 years. He was a 12th overall pick for the Reds in 2005. Was really, really good for a long period of time. Put up 5 wins above replacement for Cincinnati in 2010 and 4 for Cincinnati again in 2013. I know he was one of the most, usually the most, one of the sought after power bats at the deadline almost every year for a good chunk of time there. He had a pretty respectable career, put up 20 wins above replacement over the course of his entire career, ended up with a slash line of 244, 314, 467, hit a career total of 319 home runs, which is. That's something.
Nothing
all
right. to sneeze at. Yeah.
No, solid career for Jay Bruce.
So would those retirements be because their career was kind of winding down, or that they got squeezed out also because of kind of contract and financial issues, or a little bit of both?
Well, I think a lot of those guys were just old, and it was getting to the point where they probably weren't going to have much left anyways.
Yeah. I mean, 14 seasons, I guess he finished up with the Yankees, and certainly like they made some other decisions in terms of who they were signing. So it certainly might've been partially a money thing, with the DJ LeMahieu deal and things like that. Walker finished his career with the Phillies after 13 seasons, starting with the Pirates. I mean, 13 seasons, that's another kind of like lengthy period of time that I could certainly attribute to just, age and kind of being done with the game. The one that I think might be more a product of kind of the situation is Blevins, Jerry Blevins. So, because he was a loogie. And of course,
37 years old. Pitched for, again, a really long time.
Right. But he, the implementation of the 3-pitcher minimum has
really, really hurt him. Yeah. And I don't, I agree. I've never kind of been a super big fan of the three pitcher rule because it doesn't solve anything that that Major League Baseball wants it to solve. And in fact, we saw an incident.
Yeah, it just happened this week, right?
Yep.
That they couldn't get rid of a pitcher.
Yeah, they couldn't get him out, and he kept beaning batters. The guy literally
had no
control.
Right, the manager had said that he wanted to make the change, but because of the rule, they had to keep it in for a couple more batters, and they had to suffer because he was.
Yeah, I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation, but Yenesis Cabrera.
Well, I think it's called. I think it's pronounced Cabrera.
Okay.
Exactly.
I believe that's Chris Zuck telling you.
Yeah, that is Zuck. Yes,
but
thank you.
he drilled Harper in the face, and spiked a couple balls after that. He hit two guys. Like he hit Harper, then hit Didi Gregorius with a 94 mile an hour heater right in the middle of the bat.
And the Phillies manager was going nuts because
Girardi. He got tossed for that.
Right, but he was wondering why aren't you tossing the pitcher?
They should have.
And the umpire, I guess, his discretion decided that it wasn't intent. But the thing,
it doesn't matter.
But the problem is this is what the problem with the rule is. If the umpire doesn't get rid of him, the manager on the other team cannot let him. You know, and so. Yeah, I mean, for a rule that was you didn't want this revolving door of 15 pitchers coming in a game, but, you know, has it solved much? Yeah, I don't know about that one.
No, and then you get situations like this where it's endangering players.
Yeah. And it doesn't work for anyone. And all you've got there is you've actually created a longer game anyways because Girardi comes out and arguing the case and, you're not speeding up the game because it's still taking longer because you're throwing out a manager and you're having,
long said on this show that it's not about the length of the game. It's about the pace of play and the number of balls in play, right? That it's not got anything to do with the length of the game. Football games are like almost 4 hours long nowadays. Right. And people still watch those week after week after week.
It's called gambling.
Cricket's one of the most
FYI on that one.
Fair. Cricket's one of the most popular sports on the face of the planet. And that cricket can go on for days, you know? So it's not got anything to do with the length. It's pace play. It's about,
The dead play. It's the dead.
Right. Pitching changes suck and pitching changes aren't fun. But at the same time, like there are other things you can do to cut more time off of games.
Oh yeah,
that doesn't endanger players. We knew that we talked about how this could be a possibility when they instituted this rule. And if I remember correctly, we all thought it was silly.
Yep,
I could be wrong, but we all.
Well, I certainly was sad because I had my dreams of one of my children being a loogie certainly evaporated.
What is? Can you remind me, Michael, about that term?
A left-handed one-out guy.
Wow. Yeah. There was a special, there was an art to it. Actually,
bringing in that, reverse matchup. That's the left-handed pitcher to like get that one out. Right. And so, I mean, and those guys made a comfortable living and, someone like Blevins who pitched for 13 years, he was in 495 and a third career innings over that 13 seasons and had 508 strikeouts over that time. So, a strikeout per inning or more and, decent ERA 3.54 over that career. He held left-handed hitters to a 583 OPS during his career. So,
that's crazy. That's so good. That's so good. That's,
to make a career doing just like one thing really well. Like that's fantastic.
I've been thinking a lot about this and I'm not 100% certain it's the ultimate fix for the problem, like or even a better fix of the problem they're trying to solve. But if you limit the amount of pitchers that a team can carry on their roster, if you put a hard cap on it at 11 or 12 and then make it so that way, when you send a guy down to the minors or the alternate site, they have to wait like a full week period before you can call them back up again. And it really limits the amount of pitching changes a manager can make in a game because they've got to keep guys fresh, right? You can't just pitch guys every single day. And it also It also probably forces managers to leave starters in there longer while not taking away their ability to use loogies, while not taking away their ability to get a guy out of there who's really struggling. I would require some testing, but I think that's probably a better solution than what MLB came up with.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of thing they could do in something like the Atlantic League, like they were trying with the moving the mound, right? Like if they're going to experiment, they could certainly see about kind of like limits on pitching, not on, you know, hampering them with like, you can only do a substitution for this number of outs or something, but like, you know, this is the roster you have to carry, and how you accord it during a gameplay is up to you.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is Brian had talked about pace of play, right? And I read an article this week about that, and I can't remember exactly the source, but that this is like, we're in a dead ball era, or not an era, a year, right? Where this is like the fifth time overall that the ball is just not in play anymore. Like there's more strikeouts. There's just not. And that also, I mean, so that's just where, you know, it's a detriment to the whole game because you're not having action, right? The batting averages of some of these teams are just disastrous right now. Like it's hilarious because I mean, it's early. So maybe, you know, as the weather heats up I guess something happens here, but you know, it's either the feast or famine. It seems like, right. They're either heading for the home run or they get on the strikeout. And then also you've got defensive shifts and all that stuff. And I just, you know, there seems to be like, they just seems like they're tinkering on the edges here of what to do about the pace of play. I would agree with you, Brian. It has nothing to do with every time you go and you watch watch a major league game in the postseason, no one complains about 3-4 hour games when there's intensity of it, because there's something on the line. Right. And every play counts, but in a regular season or even in the there has to be more action.
There's gotta be more action.
More action. Right.
That's the mount, yeah. The argument for the moving the mound back is to put more balls in play. Right.
But I don't think it'll end up doing that. I think all it'll end up doing is causing more walks.
Did you read the article on the Atlantic, or sorry, the Athletic this week by Enoceris?
I haven't had a chance yet, but
because they talk about the experiment that Driveline Baseball did, actually for an article that Ben Lindbergh was doing, they did a controlled experiment about moving the mound back and had a pitching machine throw 426 pitches, a mix of fastballs and curves, to their hitters. And so contact went up by 4%.
Well, that's certainly something
over that, you know, contact rate, swing rate, they both went up, over those, within those two. I mean, I would recommend that folks go, the article is, as I said, by Enoceris, it's called, So They Might Move the Mound Back. What's the Best and Worst That Could Happen? That's on the Athletic this week. I guess I'll try to link to that in our show notes.
I'm not a huge fan of using batting average as a quality stat for how well a team's doing, because it's not really all that important. But in terms of Zouk was talking about, like, batting averages are way down, and yeah, I mean they are. And as far as action goes, it's actually probably not a bad stat, because it's how many balls are you putting in play, kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, without looking, I just want both of you to guess what the lowest current team batting average is right now.
What the average it is, not what the lowest what team.
What think, not what team? What the average is?
I'd say 240.
Mike?
Oh no, I think it's like 191.
Oh, it's that much lower?
Mike's a lot closer than you are, Zouk. The Cubs team batting average.
The Cubs are doing really bad. That's right.
The Cubs' current batting average is 203.
Right. I forgot about that. It's very
But it's not just them. Tigers at 208, Cleveland Tito's at 209, Seattle Mariners at 210, the Yankees at 215, the A's at 216. Like, these teams are not doing good. And the highest team batting average in all of Major League Baseball, 267 from the Boston Red Sox. That's bad.
Yeah, it's real bad. I mean, the only thing that I would say, the caveat is, we're a month into the season, right?
Sure.
So does
sure.
it does
batting
it,
averages
does,
will heat
they,
up, but
they
like
should, but it is quite low, right?
In '92, the lowest team batting average was the Pirates with 244. I don't care how much it heats up. I don't think it's going to come up 40 points. The lowest team batting average in 2005 was the Washington Nationals at 252. Like, this is what we're talking about here.
But the interesting thing about it, what I read a little bit about the Cubs, and I totally forgot about that, is that they can't hit the fastball, is what this article was talking about. It was kind of weird. It's like, well, because you have all these pitchers coming in who throw basically, you know, especially from the bullpen, 95, 98, 100, 101, whatever, and they can't catch up to it. And it's like, well... You know, that's what the game is now, right? Like that's what these bullpens are built on, is to just throw flames. And if you can't, then what happens if you never put the ball in play? Like, then we got a really big problem with baseball, don't we? You can't hit the ball.
Well, like, I mean, but they are walking quite a bit. Right, like their OBP is like 100 points higher than their sure. team average, so they're walking a ton.
But who's going to game to watch walks?
Nobody, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah, right, yeah, like exactly. as a sabermetrician, you like to quote Billy Bean, like if he gets on base, I don't care.
Right,
you know,
it doesn't matter how you get on it, exactly.
Right, like
that.
if I'm a Cubs fan or if I'm in the front office, I do not care how they get on base. However, if I'm like a non Cubs based baseball fan, which I'm not, spoilers, then like I'm not tuning in to watch the Cubs play because.
Shout out to your mom, though.
Shout out to my mom. Grinding
but
away.
We're not talking about like, you know, Vladdy having four walks in game, right? We were talking about Vladdy having three home runs, right? We talk, that's how baseball, you know, is entertainment, but also how you generate runs and win games, right? Like, I mean, as a walk is, I mean, it's always goes.
They're not fun to watch, and you want to talk about getting down the pace of play. Cut walks out of games. It's real simple, because walks are long at bats, like minimum four pitches. If you take into account that the average major league pitch is what like. 47
Do they
seconds
use the shot clock at all? I'm just curious. I was watching a couple of games this week, and I don't think that's happening. Is there even shot clocks being used? Because that was supposed to be one. That's supposed to be one that they were supposed to try and, you know, see if they could kind of shorten that up. But you see the same old everything, right? And that said, is, I mean, you can still have great pitching matchups, and you have, you know, I get that. Yeah, I mean, walks, but you know, I mean, so how much do you take out of the game then? You're probably saying they just eliminate walks?
Well, no, I'm just saying that like if you get rid of walks, right, then like or
lower a
lower walks.
A percentage of,
because
sure.
Think about it, right, the average, so as of 2019, the average time between pitches was 32 seconds. Okay. Average time. So every single walk is at least four pitches, right? So every single walk is at least at the very minimum, 2 minutes worth of time. But most walks are longer than that. You're talking probably five, six pitches. So you're looking at 3 minutes per walk. And that's a low event. That's a low event outcome. A 3 minute thing that ends up in something that's boring that nobody likes, especially when you know that the guy, like if Ichiro or Ricky Henderson draws a walk, you're excited on the edge of your seat because you know he's going, right? Like the whole stadium knows that man's going. Billy Hamilton, man, is looking to run. Tim Anderson, right? Like you know that if that guy draws a walk and gets on base, he's bolting. But like nobody runs anymore. It's like steals have been going progressively down and down and down because like nobody runs anymore. So like what a walk is a 3 minute boring event that you don't get to be excited about what comes next. Like it just sucks. It's like, I get it. It's statistically the same as getting a hit, but like, it sucks up more time and is way less fun than a ball in play.
I don't even know what to say to that other than I agree that it is. It's an unfortunate thing, and I don't know if there's a way to address that because, of course,
I mean, it's a hard this ties thing into it's like, part of the game. Like, it's part of the game. Like,
people are going to get it. They're going to do it. What they have
and
to.
And I totally agree with you, Brian, is that it would be night. They're trying to figure out a way, but there's other, like, yeah, I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
You know, and you can say the same thing about, you can say mostly the same thing about a strikeout too. And are they part of the game? Absolutely. Am I arguing to completely cut those things out? No. I just want there to be less of those on both ends.
I totally agree. Like, I was watching DeGrom this week, right? And I'm telling you, yes, and that is actually entertaining. When you're seeing someone craft a game like that, and then it's frustrating because he never wins one, you know, when
sure,
he
but like
one,
that guy,
but
that
also,
guy's magnificent at his craft. Not only is he throwing gas, but he's got insane movement and he's painting corners.
Right.
It's not like any myriad of nameless, faceless Rays bullpen clowns that come in and throw 98 mile an hour fastballs and a 92 mile an hour slider, and they just like, they don't have any control. They just go out there and overpower hitters. I don't find that interesting. I never found Nolan Ryan interesting. So like, I just want more DeGroms and
I would say, and I just want to say this because I you know, what he's on is quite historic, right? His first five outings, I believe he had like 50 strikeouts, something like that.
It's incredible.
And the one thing is that actually the game is pretty fast. When you got a pitcher dealing like that, the innings move pretty quickly, right? Because he kind of moves through the lineup
too.
There's no doubt about it, but if you're on command, like, you're just mowing down that lineup and boom, 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 1, 2, 3 and let's go. And you know, and then the Mets do nothing and he has to go back and, you know, try and keep striking out people. But they've been looking at this for a long time about, you know, how do you change stuff, and they always look at the time, and I think you are right in regards to Brian about it should be a pace of play instead of the time, because that's kind of a misnomer. It's just how to make the game a bit more entertaining that you don't have all those dead spots, right? And I think that's something that, you know, I mean, hey, the one good thing is there's a lot of exciting players, right? Look at the youth that's out there. Acuna, Soto, Vladdy, they're all, you know, mashing it out there. And so that can only help the game a bit and Tatis and, you know, what they're doing on and off the field. And yeah, I mean, so there is some, you know, there's hopefully they can build on what they have of this youth movement, because hopefully would get maybe a younger generation into baseball more.
Before we wrap up, just want to give a little hat tip to the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, let's talk about the Royals. Number one, baby.
Who sit atop the AL Central right now, 15-8 record. And
hey, they're battling for the top spot in major leagues right now. They're right there. I do want to note it. I did see the Royals at the start of the year, and you guys were giving me the old raspberries. But, I mean, it's early. It's early, let me say. But it's exciting as sort of I'm a quasi-Royals fan from back, you know, with seeing them in the World Series.
Which is why I wanted to mention and acknowledge it at this point, because, I mean, who knows? But
And I'll tell you, it's because it's also, in the flip side, your Twinkies are having a disastrous start to the season. But that said, that's the beauty of the first month. It could all change. But the Royals had sort of, I read that about that they were poised to sort of do something a bit bigger, and so far it's come to fruition. I mean, it's going to be interesting because I believe they're playing the Twins this weekend, and so if the Twins don't get it going, I mean, there's already 7 back. I mean, they could be not buried, but I mean, that you know, you don't want to lose a series like that early on, because you know, I mean, that division, you know, you can make a hot streak and you can catch up quickly. But that said, is, I mean, the farther you fall back now, I mean, it gets tougher as the season goes on. But I appreciate that, Michael, acknowledging that at least a strong start by the KC Royals.
The other start I wanted to acknowledge, I mean, it's not quite as hot as Kansas City, but it is surprising, is the Diamondbacks. They so they're on a 10-5 run right now after starting 2-6. So, I mean, they're, you know, they're a 500 team in the NL West, but, you know, they have done it without like a ton of guys. You know, Zach Gallen missed part of the start because of a hairline fracture in his right forearm. They've lost Ketel Marte and Christian Walker. They've had, I think, four or five of their free agent relievers go down. But I was reading a piece on The Athletic that said, so manager Tori Lavullo had, I guess, been talking to Bob Melvin and Kevin Cash during the offseason because he was intrigued by, you know, Oakland and Tampa Bay success. And what they said was that it takes 26 players to win a game. And when I heard that, a bell went off for me. As a result, I have a rotation of players which would have taken place even if the injuries never occurred. Different daily lineups and pinch hitting also plays into our new approach. On top of having really good players, we have some amazing coaches that dug into how we could prep and practice at high intensity. So the strategy has been to do platooning and do sitting and pinch hitting for players and just kind of like really messing with the lineup day in and day out and giving a different look every game. And it has actually paid off for them. And
so is it called Melvin Ball now?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it seems very a little bit, you know, obviously he decided to do something different. See if that could work.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's certainly still early, but it's something to keep an eye on. And I mean, the NL West is looking
lit.
Really crazy. You've got San Francisco. I mean,
yeah.
Who, you know, are a half game up on the Dodgers.
With no outfielders either. They're all hurt.
With all, yeah.
They're bad.
You know, San Diego is right there, 14-12 and looking hot. And Arizona has been playing well. And so, you know, it's definitely.
I was going to say, you know, yeah. RIP the Rockies. But that's a great division. And let me tell you this, if anyone had a chance on Sunday night to watch the Dodgers and Padres, I mean, that's going to be a heck of a.
This is a rivalry. Well,
that's a great rivalry, right?
Tatis that they're stoking. Hitting the home run and then covering his eye. Oh my God. What a legend.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's becoming a thing out West. And it, I mean, it's great that these are teams that square off a lot over the course of the season. Cause you like it when a rival isn't just like a, you know, very intermittent thing when it, you know, like you get those Subway Series in New York, or you get the, you know, South Side, North Side kind of Chicago battle on Interleague. But you love it when there's like it's a good, like St. Louis and Chicago, like something like that.
Yeah, where they play each other a ton of times.
Exactly. They see each other enough to really not like each other.
Well, and already you see it's quite heated between those two teams, and it's only going to get better as we go through the season. It's exciting. It's fun, right? I mean, it's already like you're getting some surprise here. That's probably the best division so far early on, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's fantastic. I got a kick out of watching that game.
So before we go,
hey, what's going on at the pity party?
The Rat Boys just had a 10th anniversary concert. To celebrate the fact that their first album came out 10 years ago. So I love them, and one of my
are they local?
Bands.
Where are they from?
No, they're from Chicago.
Ah, there you go.
So I'm going to be definitely playing some of their stuff. And it's my good friend Zach's 30th birthday on Monday. So I'm going to be playing a bunch of his stuff. Some of his stuff from Sawyer, some of his stuff from Boys Club to help him celebrate his 30th birthday.
Are you kind of twisting the knife in that he's turning 30 coming up?
Well, no, because I'm turning 30 in July. So like, I don't want to do that because I know he's just going to pay me back in double.
Well, yes, he will. Well,
what goes around comes around. This is
something like that. Well, that's fantastic. And we can't wait for the pity party. Can't wait.
1 o'clock this afternoon. Stick around, of course, for Democracy
Now. Oh, hey, before we go there, let me just tip out of here. I want to say this. I just have this top of my head. Albert Pujols hit 670, I believe, this week. It's crazy. This guy, he might try and get to 700 before his career's over.
I don't think he can.
I know you're what you're saying, Brian, but he has hit some dingers this year, and it's
no,
early.
That's fine. I get it, but like, I don't think it's possible, Zook, based on like how many he's hit per season over the last five. I don't think so. He's at 670, right? 670.
Yeah.
He hasn't hit 30 home runs in a season.
Let's see where he is at the end of the year.
2016. Suk, it's been almost 6 years since the last time he hit 30.
You know, when you get close to a milestone, maybe he gets the fountain of youth again, right? I mean, he has 2 years. If he had 2 years to make it.
Maybe it'll be like the Bernie Mac movie, Mr. 3000. Like, just stick around till he gets to that mark.
Oh, R.I.P. the Mac. You got it.
All right, with that.
Hey, guess what's happening? They're still playing ball!
No.
Strike three, you're out.